In the name of Him who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ our Lord, dearly beloved of the Lord and of Ellie. We're reading Psalm 27 today. I'd like to read it on pages 7 and 8 and then go back and meditate on key verses here. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of You, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide Your face from me. Do not turn Your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me Your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Memories. They sure come flooding back when we gather together to praise the Lord for His grace in the life of a loved one like Ellie and seek His grace for our time here, still in the vale of tears, the valley of the shadow of death. But there are memories and good ones. Looking back at 2008 was when Ellie and Norm joined New Life. But according to my records, it was in 2009 when Ellie broke her arm. And that was the beginning of in and out of hospitals and home visits and weather when they couldn't get to worship. 2011, apparently when Norm began to have health issues that continued for a couple years there. Lots of home visits, treasured visits, stories. And in the visits, before going to the home, the visits in the hospitals and the rehab centers, there was a special blessing that each time I was there to call on Norm or Ellie, as the case would be, one or the other was probably there too. And so were family members. I think of all the families I've served, I met more of this family in those calls than any I can remember. Pretty amazing, because then God's word, which is never bound, it does His purpose, as we heard in Isaiah 55. It means that more are blessed. There's something about God's grace. It's so infinite and awesome that the more He pours it in and pours it out for you, you overflow. And then you pour it out for others in kindness, in love, and hopefully in the words that you heard, those words of grace from our God that others need to hear. It's not by accident that we're in God's house today, hearing as family and loved ones. And the stories. World War II. I didn't get it all right. I had to review a little bit with with family members here. But yeah, Norm, proud of his service. But then also how Ellie was so thankful when he got home. Those memories. And for me, it was always a warm welcome with coffee or something that Ellie was making. I don't know how it happened in our culture. Somewhere along the line, somebody gave that certain gift, remember that? And then there's the jokes about how it gets passed on in the office from one person to the next. I just don't think it's fair. Because every year, Ellie gave us one of those, and it didn't last more than a day or two at our house. And funny thing, this morning as we were eating breakfast, out of the blue, my better half, Cindy, says, "You know, Mark, we're always going to remember Ellie for her fruitcake." And Cindy remembered that even last year, Ellie's kind of apologetic. I needed some help, but, and then it's not as good as other years, but, and Cindy says, so much like Ellie. Give you a gift and then just apologize that it wasn't as good as she really wanted it to be for you. Sweet grace. Sweetness that makes you maybe wonder at first, why in the world this psalm? Well, as we were planning, Ryan, the funeral director, got out the folder from Norm's funeral, and it said Psalm 27. I wasn't thinking about this one at the time, but it did strike a memory for me that every time I went over that house and I thought, you know, here's going to be a beautiful psalm that I can share with Norm and Ellie. And I start to say the words, and Ellie's already got it marked in her Bible. And Ryan just told me today, yes, that psalm was the one that Ellie chose for Norm's announcement, the obituary. But then why? Why all this about these enemies? Evil man, enemies, an army besiege me. Why does someone that's so sweet have to even think about enemies? The Lord's Apostle Paul answers that for us in his letter to the Ephesians, because it's a spiritual battle. And that old evil foe is especially after the sweet ones. He's got all the rest. One of our Sunday school teachers used to say that. He's got all the rest. But he goes viciously after those who honor the Lord. You remember this from Ephesians chapter 6? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ellie was taught not to wait, to get armed and dangerous against the devil and those who side with them, and that old traitor inside of each of us that wants to doubt, wants to fear, wants to forget about the Lord. Because we have inside also the new man created in the rebirth and renewal that the Lord poured out on us in our baptism. It was in that word-powered water, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, when that saving name was first put on Ellie's soul. And like so many, your memories go back to Jesus as your best friend from that time when you received that word-powered water. No accident. Power of God's word. And there, year after year, in good times and bad, sunshine or shadow, joy or heartache, the Lord is always there, with you always, to the end of the age. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He gave us that special washing that Paul talks about in Titus chapter 3. And it's important to see how he leads this off, because he says, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And Ellie, as Christians everywhere, would be the first to say, it's not because of me. Don't glorify me. I've had members specifically say, don't give me a eulogy. Praise the Lord. And so we do. We praise the Lord because it's not because of our righteousness or what we've done. He saved us through the washing of rebirth. That means born again. The born again washing. The washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified, declared not guilty, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. That's a hope that burns in the heart of believers no matter where they are, whether you are with family and friends or you can't be with them, as was the heartache of Ellie in these past months. When you can only look through glass, if that, and then only on the phone, and then there seems to be quarantine after that too. What heartaches. And yet the Lord says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Those Sunday school teachers that served Ellie in her youth, the family devotions, the passages that she memorized. We have another member who was a Sunday school teacher, and she was telling Cindy on the phone how she can't be visited now, and so those passages just keep coming back. You ever have that where you wake up at night and there's a hymn verse there or a passage or just a snippet, just a few words? That's the Holy Spirit. That's God's grace. That's the promise coming true again for you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. As the psalmist says here, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. I don't know the details, but I do know that Norm was raised by his grandparents, right? And the way I heard the story, at least, this fine young woman came to town, and it was Norm's grandfather that said, she's a keeper. Well, Norm didn't have to be told twice. Neither did anybody who met Ellie. She's a keeper. And now the Lord has her safe at last where he created her to be, at his side, in his arms, and safe. The Lord will keep me safe in his dwelling. Set me high on a rock. Shouts of joy. Sing and make music. Seek his face. We all need to seek his face while he may be found and call on him while he is near. There are those where they've wandered far and they've fought the Lord and they've rebelled in their hearts and they just didn't want to come around and admit they need the Lord. But when you know his kindness and you know his love, it's not a problem anymore. It's his kindness that actually leads us to repentance, to change our mind about God and sin and self. Isaiah the prophet said, and those who trust in Jesus can totally say this too, on our best days, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. The best we can do in God's sight by itself would be nothing. And as the Apostle Paul said, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? But he's not done. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. I think it's just so awesome. It's one of those things like one of the church fathers said, it's shallow enough for a child to wade in, and it's deep enough to drown an elephant. How the Lord could take what's where everybody lives, like water, bread, and wine, and attach his promise and give you himself. It's just awesome. So, February 16th, 2020, will live in my memory. Because there was Ellie coming into the Lord's house, just beaming. Generally, at those times, it was because of rides from members, Bill and Marie Bundy and others, just bringing her to God's house. But that particular day, Ed and Dawn happened to be in town. And Ellie was especially a light. It was a communion Sunday. And she would just light up. You know how it is. To receive the body and blood of our Lord, given and shed for you. This is my body. This is my blood of the new covenant. Miracle of God, I don't understand. But I know the joy of it myself. And I know why Ellie treasured that sacrament. Here, the last time she could receive it in February, then came COVID, and then it was a challenge. But the chaplain, Ann, and social worker, Sam, at Serenity, very determined, helped open the way for me to give Ellie communion last summer. Cindy got to come along and observe too, and it was outside. But again, how that miracle of God's grace in that Holy Supper just sustains you. That's my encouragement to everybody today, to get back to the Lord's table, receive his body and blood, and get that encouragement and strengthen your heart. Charge up the batteries. Go online, listen to the word, read your Bible. Mark it if you want. Some rather not, but it's yours. Memorize those passages. Review the ones that you learned before. Because this is what I ask of the Lord, and I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then the hard part, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Hardest thing for Christians too. Hardest thing. Except when you keep in mind what's going on right now, this moment, in time, into eternity. In Revelation chapter 7, one of the elders asked John, the holy writer, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who literally are coming." It's a present tense in the original Greek. "These are those who are coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hour after hour, moment by moment, another soul from grace to glory into the praises of God eternal. Pure love in the very essence of God himself. God is love. And finally, love's purest joys restored. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The good shepherd in triumph over sin, death, and hell, to give as a free gift of his grace everlasting life to all who trust in him. It's so true. Sunday School 101, right? God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And as Paul says in Romans 10:17, 10:13, he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I just like to step back sometimes and think about how many will be there. Because Christians like Ellie just keep on pouring it out. She told me on the phone there was a nurse that would come to her apartment and troubles, and Ellie would comfort her and say, you need to get back to church. You need to pray. I don't even have a Bible, because Ellie kept saying, you need to read your Bible. So I have an extra one. And then when Ellie went into special care, the nurse came to see her, wrote her a card, I forget which it was, and she said, I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm praying. From grace to glory, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Amen.